Hello guys, we are back with a new episode for you. So what we have decided is we are going to do book summaries now. So because I have been reading a ton of books and I wanted to share my thoughts on those books. So we have Akash with us and we both have been reading Atomic Habits now. And we both have completed it actually, and we would like to say a few things about it. So Akash, when did you read the book?
So I started reading this book around 2 months ago, I guess. Okay. But eventually I have read it for along with some few other books, I have read it for 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Nice. So how do you usually read your books? Do you read them like a passage? So what I did with the personal MBA was I tried to take my time with the book. Okay. And listen to just specific parts of, let's say I wanted to learn about customer acquisition.
Right,
then I would
right.
read that part of the book. So
it basically was picking out the topics which you are interested in from the book summary. Okay. So basically I didn't do that way. I read the whole book. So first of all, when I started this book, I guess it was around 2 months back. So basically what I did is I used to read at night.
Yeah.
So I used to get ample amount of time at night. I used to basically read everything for about at least 2 chapters I used to read daily. But along with it, I used to read other books also.
Okay.
For example, like I am still studying in university. So I had to read my like academic books also the same way. So yeah, I completed it pretty much in a very good amount of time.
Even I listened to the book. I think I finished the book in a couple of weeks, maximum 14 days.
I used to
wear it while I was going to train.
Mm.
And audiobook. I listened to the audiobook. I did not actually read the book.
Okay.
And I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
So let's get started with the book.
Okay.
So basically, to give a summary about this book is basically it's a non-fiction book, and it focuses mainly on how resolutions by making small changes in our day-to-day activities.
We can have an impactful, an end result.
Yeah.
By following through some like simple basic what others seem like insignificant steps or changes in our daily lives. Yeah.
So in the book, so in the beginning itself, they have explained a very good example of what these changes are and how these changes compound over time, with an example of a British cycling team.
Yeah.
So just explain what the
basic
team was. And then you can.
Yeah. So basically, this British cyclist team back in the 90s was going through a rough phase. So none of them were. They like. I think there was one company, like the cycle company, who refused to give them the cycle, like even for sponsorship. They didn't give them the sponsorship because they were losing so bad. They were afraid that it may cause their reputation. So it was like that bad for them. So they decided to change the coach. And by changing the coach implements like subtle, small, I would say incremental few plans, few strategies and few plans, which obviously the team had a like very impactful, I would say, result. Hmm. They got the result eventually. But in the beginning, nobody would believe that these small things would actually matter a lot. Okay. So starting for giving like example point of view, they coated the tires, the cycling tires, with some form of, I think, some solutions. Okay. So basically it reduced the friction. Then they changed the diet of the cyclist. Very, very like subtle changes. For example, like getting in proportion the carbs, the proteins, and also the grip of their sole of the tires, and the grip of their shoes was what they ride in.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and also like reducing the weight of the framework, making the cycles lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So eventually there were, I guess, 4 Tour de France and like gold medals also.
They won 4
Tour de France. Basically, I don't remember the exact number, but almost 80 medals And yeah. they broke 7 world records.
Yeah.
Yeah, eventually. But it happened eventually.
Yeah. And yeah. this is exactly what is mentioned in Atomic Habits. Right? So, you are not as good as your goals. You are as good as your processes. As good as your systems.
Right.
So, it really hit home with me when he said that you... So, always when I am thinking about successful people, I am thinking about how did they... Like, failures never had a plan to fail.
Obviously.
Right?
Yeah.
They also wanted to succeed. So, basically, their goals were the same.
Yeah.
To have a lot of money, to have everything they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But why did people who fail, and why did successful people succeed? Was my question.
Yeah.
So, he answered it very well.
Yes.
Well, saying that you are only as good as your systems.
Right.
And
right.
In the British cycling example, team example, they actually changed the
systems.
That is why their outputs changed. Even though the goal had was the same, before and after.
I think there was a huge, what you can say, the approach was very different,
yeah.
first of all. And there goes, I mean, I'm watching a series right now.
Okay.
So it's Peaky Blinders, okay. So this is a fiction film. So, a series. So, there is one character in there who is the main lead character. He's called Thomas Shelby.
Okay.
Okay. And he's such a determinant person. If you watch that series, it is like obviously mind-blowing. But the thing that I got from him is he always keeps the, you know, end goal stable. But he's always flexible with whatever the process he's going through. If something doesn't work, he always changes the process in such a way that it is more efficient, but doesn't change the end goal. The end goal always remains the same. Like how Mike Tyson said it, that you always have a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah. Very interesting. So till you go in the field, you don't know exactly what. So where do you think you have applied this to in your? In your life, in
right.
So you're 19, so
yeah,
I don't
19.
Think you have lived a lot, but neither have I. But how have you applied till today?
Okay, so academically speaking, I have been a very studious guy from the beginning. So I guess you know, if you have like whoever is listening to this podcast, so if you have any medical friends, they will tell you it is not at all like engineering or any competitive exam. Okay, so we don't basically have like 1 + 2 = 3, it is never that way. So you have to basically write a whole like 8 to 10 pages for one single question. I'm not even joking, 8 to 10 pages back and forth for one question which I raise around 10 marks. So basically what they test you is the amount of subjective answer you can put in with the proper amount of diagrams and other things combined with the amount of, you know, basically shit you write in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the quantity.
Yeah.
That is the basis. So, when I write those exams, first in the starting beginning, they give you 15 minutes of preparation time before the exam begins. Okay. So, in that time, you have to fill the like credentials and everything, like name, roll number, everything. So, in that time, you can basically, if you look around the examination hall, you will see people asking each other silly questions like how much you are prepared, how much you slept the night. I think you can use that exam to draw the margins.
At that time. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So basically, instead of asking what date it is and how much you slept the other night, you can use that time, utilize that time to draw the margins on the, you know, like how we used to do in 10th standard.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to basically be systematic about it and draw lines on the left and the right side.
Yeah.
If you think about it, you don't really seem to have a vague idea about how it can impact your paper or how it can impact the amount of things you write in that paper. But adding like a 2 to 3 centimeter line on the right side of the paper.
So
making
what we are saying is, other than the margin on the
margin.
Left, we also draw a
right
line on the right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it is usually for people, as for the checkers to mark the number of marks we have or something like that.
That is the basis on the 10th standard examination.
Okay.
But there are 2 things for it. First of all, the examiner thinks that you have written your answers very appropriately, very clean and neatly. So that is not my, you know, basis. My basis is to reduce the amount of space what you can write and increase the number of pages what you can actually write.
Yeah, and that is how you get compared. You never get compared on number of words. You are compared on the number of pages
you write.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So this
and
is such a small example of the change you have made. So yeah.
Also, the I think no, most of the people don't think about it, but if even if you like, you know, when you are writing, you attach your pen's cap on the end. Okay, yeah. And when you remove the pen's cap and you just write without the cap, you don't feel like very like sudden change or very like the weight is not that significant, right?
Yeah.
But eventually, if you write and if you compare your speed with it, you can actually write much faster. Not like much faster, but that is it—the incremental change,
yeah.
The incremental progress. You can write at least I would say the questions that matter the most at the last. You can write them at that time. The speed
yeah.
counts at that time.
So yeah, that's so interesting. So whether or not to have the pen cap on her back, on the pen's back, mm-hmm. is such a small thing to think about. Then too, it matters a lot
yeah.
when it comes to the crucial part.
Right.
So I have been following Manchester United for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been following them since they were like shit. Like after
mm.
they were great, after the manager
yeah.
after 25 years he left, I've been following them after that.
Mm.
So everybody compares the current manager to the last manager.
Mm.
So let's say firstly we had David Moyes.
Okay.
So everybody compared how good David Moyes is to the greatest manager the club has ever seen.
Achha.
So nobody thought of what the culture of the club was then.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody compared the culture. They always compared exactly what, how many titles did they win.
Based upon the results
yeah.
that they get.
Yeah, so United lost almost every important match.
Achha.
For the last, I think, 7 years.
Mm.
So last year, so 18 months back, they have appointed a new manager. His
oh.
name is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He's a Norwegian. He's a Manchester United legend.
Mm.
So he's already played for United. He has won Champions League. He has won FA Cups. He's won everything.
Right, okay.
And he has gone to managing now.
Okay.
So now, when he's managing,
mm.
So I can see he's not a very talkative guy, firstly.
Gotcha.
He's super nice. Whenever he talks, he never puts his players down.
Hmm,
It's such a small thing.
Yeah.
Nobody will attribute this to his success.
Keeping the morale high of the team. Okay.
Yeah. He whenever he comes into the media, he never says that it was because of that player or this player.
Oh, okay.
He never points it out.
Right.
Even if that was the case, he'll never do that.
Hmm.
That is the first thing. Secondly, he started changing the culture around the club.
Mm.
Everybody, all the fans were so negative about the club because let's say players who were not playing good enough
mm.
were paid the most.
Achha. Okay.
So that became a huge hurdle for the club, because how can you justify paying him weekly, let's say $150,000?
Okay.
How do you compare that to somebody who's actually playing nice and is getting paid like 20 times less?
Oh, okay, I got you.
So these hurdles were systematically broken down,
hmm.
and they were what he did was changed how players thought about the club.
Okay.
Everybody wanted to come to United because they'll get paid a lot.
Right. Okay.
Now everybody comes to United because they want to win a lot.
It is a
difference,
yeah.
because he changed everything from small things, from getting players fitter,
mm.
right? And a very good example of this is initially, because of this program, what happened was there were tons of injuries.
Okay.
People were just out. They could not play because they could not sustain this training regime.
Mm.
And that is why United were losing again.
Okay. So they basically focused on the agility and the training of the players. Okay.
But you, so fans did not understand this. That is why all the fans started ranting, take the manager out.
Okay,
he's not good
okay.
enough.
Okay.
He's not winning anything.
Mm.
All of that.
Mm.
But now as the player's body is coping with this training routine, everybody is fitter, they are faster, they are stronger, they have a good touch whenever they touch the ball. And so all in all,
mm.
these small changes are adding up now slowly.
Right.
And you can see the results now. So it's been 18
yeah.
months.
Yeah.
So now you're seeing the results of these small additions.
Okay.
So I think it is a very beautiful story to watch, how it is unraveling in front of us.
Yeah, actually I think the core crux of it is to believe the process.
Yeah.
Just beginning.
Yeah.
Like these incremental changes, nobody will like care about it in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They will say like, "Look, okay, fine. If you want to beat like a good team in you know Liga, then how can you depend upon such an incremental change?
Yeah,
it and doesn't matter in that time.
And whenever I listen to some people talking about how to be successful, every time they say there's only one way to do it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, hard
but,
work.
That is there, but hard work is. You cannot just say hard work and get done with it.
There is a lot.
Hard work is very deep. You should understand what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I play tennis like professionally now. Mm-hmm. So while I'm playing tennis, what I try to do is when I'm training, I try to focus on my technique.
Okay.
So focusing on technique is. I am a baseline player, so basically I play from the back a lot.
Okay, baseline.
So that is one way of winning. So I am not. So I want to get more comfortable with volleys, but I'm still not very comfortable with my volleys.
Okay.
So I'm trying to improve that. But rather than saying that, yeah, every Grand Slam winner is a great volleyer, and that is why I'll change my game completely to volleying is wrong.
Just give me an idea about it, okay? So basically, if you are a baseline player, does it mean you are a conservative player or not on the aggressive side?
So you are on the aggressive side,
okay.
But a lot of players, what they do is people who have a great serve, they just serve and come to the volley and finish the point.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I keep on rallying because I have a good stamina and all of that. So initially, what happened was I could see these players have a great serve and then I used to lose to them. So I started losing faith in my own process.
Achcha.
And which was a very wrong thing, right? So after one huge loss, I decided that I have to decide on a process. And I decided that this was the process I can believe in and I can get behind.
Yeah, right.
So I now truly believe that this process works for me. It does not have to work for everybody.
Everybody. But it works for you.
Yeah. Right. So there are a lot of ways to win. So obviously you'll need hard work, you'll need passion, you'll need time management, all of that.
Yeah.
But very important is how well do you focus when the time is to focus, and the only way to focus is loving the process.
Correct.
And believing in the process.
That's it.
So I think
that's the way. Like, you have to keep your process flexible.
Yeah.
Like, if one idea doesn't work, you have to change the idea, not the end goal.
Yeah. End goal. And even in the book, they have mentioned how we have like how our personalities change on the basis of what our goals are.
Yeah.
So you can give us a good. So I think there are three ways of changing what he has mentioned. First is a outcome based this thing. Second is the system based
approach.
And the third one is identity based approach.
Correct.
So identity based approach is the strongest one.
Yeah.
And then that is how it
the
is
more efficient one is the identity based. Afterwards is the system based and then the outcome based.
Yeah.
So I would give an example. Okay. So first of all, like, obviously I think you have also done the same things. But whenever a new year comes up, you go on with resolutions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And whenever we like plan a resolution, we plan like very, what you can say, a very state-breaking resolution, for example. So what you are doing for years together, you just can't break it in one day.
Yep.
The habit system and the habit chain, what is going on with you for years along, you can't just break it in one day. And we don't do like one habit for a year.
Yeah.
We just add on like a list of the best 10 habits that you can possibly find.
Yeah.
And you just make it like a regime to start it and follow it from the 1st of January. So, personally speaking, yeah, 10 days I can cope up with it. But on the 11th day, I will feel like, no, this is not made for me.
Yeah.
Like, I can't cope up with 10 new habits all of the sudden.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what I do is, I just keep on doing like 30-day challenge. If you watch this Matt Devella channel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, what he does basically is, he follows on with one habit for 30 days. All the time. Like, let it be like detoxification or decaffeination or sleeping habits, like scheduled sleeping habits. Or say, I think he also made about NoFap and even like you know, just resisting from the masturbation and porn. So I think basically what I do is inculcate 3 habits for a month. Let it be like 100 push-ups a day, okay? And other one is how you are doing right now is the drinking like 1 liter of water in the morning, which will boost your metabolism and which will eventually, like, it has a lot of health benefits, first of all. So I basically follow these things. So identity based, what we are talking
so
about.
So all of this is a system based approach, right?
Yeah.
So we are setting up a system so that we can be better versions of ourselves.
Ourselves, correct. The identity based, what I think is, you know, when I was in college, in my first year, okay. So obviously we all know like ragging is much prevalent in medical colleges rather than engineering colleges, okay. So basically you get into that zone or get into that mentality that no, ragging what is happening is right, because every day and like every year it happens to us, and every like whenever you get into first year, like it is obvious that seniors will rag us, okay. So you get into that mindset of okay, whatever is happening is okay. But when you break that identity and when you think like no, I am also a student, I am going to be a doctor one day, then you think about it as a, you know, like ragging is very basic for us, but in soldiers or you can say like military background people, ragging and all is, I think it starts from 5th standard. At least I have heard about it. I don't know how much true it is, but I've heard about it. Like there is like very, what can I say? There are different approaches to it. First of all, the identity based approach, what I think is, if you think of yourself as a, you know, you get into that what is that mind mentality called, like victim mentality, you play the victim card. So you basically think like whatever is happening, that is bound to happen with me.
Yeah.
If you change something about it, obviously you can see the results.
Yeah, and a very good example that has been given in the book is about this, how you quit smoking.
Smoking. Yeah.
So there's a great book called I'll teach you how to quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So in that book they have I've read tons of people saying that I have left smoking because I read that book.
Okay.
And I think it is a massive thing, right? Because you read some words and then you give up on a huge bad habit.
Hmm.
How is that possible?
Hmm.
So in this book, they have broken it down, saying that it is an identity-based change.
Okay.
So in that book, he gives all the reasons why you would want to smoke and proves them that it is not good enough.
Right.
So it is not true.
Worth it.
It is just what they're making to sell.
Yeah.
So this is what he explains. So after that chapter, he also says that rather than saying, if a smoker is smoker says that yes, I'm trying to quit smoking when he is given a cigarette, then it shows that he's still in. He thinks himself as a smoker.
He hasn't broke that personality
identity. So he thinks that he's still a smoker, but he's just quitting.
Or trying to quit.
Trying to quit. But when you say that, no, I don't smoke, when you're given a cigarette, that means that you're distancing yourself from the
person,
the smoker.
And the smoking, yeah.
So that is a huge paradigm shift, I think, that I liked in the book.
And you know, you subconsciously tell yourself that I'm not a human smoker.
Yeah.
I think that matters a lot.
Yeah.
Basically, if I had to apply this in my life, I would say I used to do like 100 push-ups a day in the beginning. Okay. And my goal was like, basically, I'm a lean, skinny guy. I used to be one. And when I started doing 100 push-ups a day, I kept the, like how we say, this outcome-based result.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had to have a bigger chest. At least I should, in t-shirts, at least I should look like I have a chest or a body, okay, not like lean and skinny. So when I got on with doing 100 push-ups a day, I always focused upon the result. Okay, so maybe in 30 days I will get a bigger chest and bigger pecs, but didn't happen. And for that, I think how I changed my approach was, if I can do 100 push-ups a day, I can like achieve an athletic physique.
Yeah.
And I can break my own stereotypes, and I can break my own potential. I can just achieve, and I can just discover my potential of how many push-ups I can do in a day.
Yeah.
And it is basically a very mental thing that you know, when you start doing push-up, you don't think about how many push-ups you are going to do, and it is like base in your head. I think starting to do push-up is much harder than when you get into the push-up and your body eventually gives up.
Yeah.
Lactic acid build-up, what your body faces when you do like 50 push-ups, 60 push-ups, is rather, I would say, insignificant in terms of an amount of laziness that you have before beginning the push-up.
So getting from 0 to 1 is the hardest push-up.
Rather than going from 10 to 100,
from
0 to 10 is very crucial.
So when I think about that, so after my engineering, always I had a problem that when I would sit to work, I would do great work. So great work for me is doing what I love as well as I can.
Okay.
So doing what I love meaning let's say I have a task today, I want to give my all so
full
that
efficiency.
I want to perfect that technique. So let's say I'm designing a 3D model. So I want to give it everything I have so that I can design the perfect 3D design that I can
possible.
For my application.
Right. Okay.
Right. So I had this, I knew that I was good at this. But the problem was these sets of inspiration did not come every time.
Okay, okay.
And whenever they used to hit, that time I used to be very productive and efficient.
Okay.
So when I read this book, I started thinking it was because I was still in the student mentality. As I did not become a professional.
Yeah.
I did not become a pro.
Correct.
So then I started thinking of myself as an electronics engineer, a professional engineer.
Okay.
So from that time, I have been trying to get started at 10 o'clock in the morning and give it everything I have till 6. And then I am allowed to relax. So it is more of a mental thing that I consider myself as a professional.
Yeah.
So whenever I just sit and try to find something fun on YouTube, then I ask myself, would a professional do this?
Yeah.
If he's getting paid,
right.
A lot of professionals do. But would a professional that I want to be would do this? No. Because it goes against what I stand for and what I am as an identity. And I am an engineer now.
Yeah.
So this is a huge shift that I have seen.
Correct.
So I think this concept I've really liked and it has hit home with me.
I have read this concept in another book, I don't remember. I think this book has, you know, like compiled a lot of books all in together. For example, what we talked about, this aggregation of marginal gains, it has a book of itself called The Compound Effect.
Yeah. And they have not taught anything new in this book. It is just a great summary book. Everything he's collected and he's told us that this is how to get better.
Correct.
So I really like that about it. Even when I read books, the books that really hit home to me are the books that go along with my mentality. I trust this. But I don't know how to get from point A to point B.
Correct.
So these books become kind of a bridge from point A to point B. That is why I like books like these. So in the book, they have explained how to build basic habits. Atomic means atomic is one.
Yeah.
So basic, the most unit of...
Simplified
unit.
Okay.
So how do you make habits last and how do you break bad habits? This is an ideal situation. Right? That is what everybody wants.
Correct.
They want to break bad habits and they
want to form good habits.
That will serve them.
I think the process is quite a lot the same, just opposite to what we want to achieve. There are four things. Okay, first of all, you can read it out.
Basically, what it is so there are four things what he has mentioned. So the habit formation is basically there is a cue. Cue being, let's take an example so that it is easier for everybody to understand.
Okay, we will take example you are sitting for studying and you just see your mobile.
Yeah.
Notifying.
Yeah. So, keeping the phone in front of you and it showing you a notification is a cue. So, you think about, rather than actually what the message is, you think about what the message could be.
Could be.
And
could
that
be.
Is a lot more complex than yeah. what actually it is.
Being right? optimistic.
yeah. So okay. after that, there is the craving.
Craving.
So craving comes when you're thinking about it.
Okay.
That what could it be? What could it be? So you have a craving to open your phone and see what the message is.
Right.
So after that, you see, you give a response.
Hmm.
The response is you go and open your phone.
Hmm.
And the last one is the reward.
Reward.
You see the message and you feel something.
You basically hit a dopamine hit.
Dopamine hit, yeah. You get a hit and that is what you want.
Mm.
So this is not, there are no, so in, even in the book they have mentioned, there are no bad habits.
Mm. Mm.
All the habits that you think are bad go against what your long-term goal is.
Goal is, right.
So,
right.
So using this phone is a good thing because as a reward you are getting something positive. So you're getting a dopamine hit.
Mm.
You're getting what you were craving for.
Right.
So that can be a positive in a few other scenarios.
Yeah.
So I think so. This is how he has explained in the book, right?
Yeah. James Clear is very, what you can say, like
clear about what he thinks.
yeah, so basically for breaking one habit, you have to dispose or make the cue invisible. So if you
making a new good habit or bad habit?
No, just to break the habit.
Break the habit.
Break
okay.
the habit, okay.
Yeah.
So suppose we will take the same scenario again.
Yeah. yeah.
So you are sitting for studying, you are on your study table and you find yourself getting distracted a bit and your bell ring, I mean notification rings, okay. So what you can do, you can keep the phone away from you,
yeah.
or you can keep it in a drawer, you can keep it in your cupboard, away from your the place where you are studying. So basically it won't distract you.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is the first thing, you make the cue invisible or just dispose it of. The second one, what is it, is make the craving unattractive.
Yeah.
So how would I keep give it into words?
So what I do is turn off all the notifications firstly,
okay,
so
okay,
that
okay.
the queue is gone.
Queue is gone.
Secondly, I make it unattractive.
Hmm.
So let's say I get a notification.
Hmm.
I've deleted, obviously I've deleted my Instagram. It has become unattractive for me. Whenever I use my phone, there's nothing for me to use.
Use it, yeah.
Because
yeah, yeah.
I have nothing to use.
But like for a, like, you know, layman chap who uses Instagram, but
yeah.
he has to make the craving unattractive.
So to make it unattractive, what I used to do initially was unfollow people who I think
yeah,
are
yeah,
attractive.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Attractive being
resonating with you.
Yeah, yeah. So attracting being people who actively distract you from what you want.
Yeah. For example,
so,
meme pages.
Yeah, meme pages.
Meme
great
pages.
Example. So how? So this is how you make it unattractive.
Unattractive. Yeah.
So the third one is
making the response difficult. So what I used to do when I used to use Instagram, I used to keep it in the hidden app section.
Yeah.
Or basically how you used to like operate Instagram from the Google itself.
Yeah.
From the website. Okay. So it is a lot, what I can say.
Irritating
to use it from the like websites, you know. You can't double click. You can't, you basically, the algorithm is such that they want you to install the app and use it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. It makes it so much convenient to use it in the app rather than on the website.
Yeah.
And that is their whole motto, so that you can download the app. Okay. So basically making the response difficult. Or you can set passwords. Okay. So what I used to do, I used to set a very long as password, first of all. So that whenever I have to like, you know, like whenever you pop up, when you're into your work zone, and whenever sudden thing, like random thing pops up and it is very insignificant. For example, I would say sending some memes to one friend, okay, and this pops up and it is a really good meme, but it is insignificant in
yeah.
Accordance to what you are doing.
Yeah.
And if you keep your password long enough, that until you type the password, you think, "Arey, what am I doing with
me?" Yeah, yeah.
And if you are very, what you can say, approachable to the other person via internet. So suppose if you can open up the Instagram and send memes real fast, then I think you are bound to make more distractions when you are working.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is a part of how to make the response difficult, right?
Yeah.
So how do you make the reward unsatisfactory?
I would say we are sticking to the same scenario, okay? So basically, your phone rings up, notification bell, bell rings up, you go to it, and you suppose if you even respond to it. So how you can make the reward unsatisfactory is you just become aware of yourself, what you are doing. Because, like, you know, I was talking to you the other day about the, you know, dopamine hit, what they use, and they use this, I would say, members who are called attention engineers when they are making the Instagram algorithm.
Yeah.
And they have learned, I mean, they have, what you can say, synthesized the concepts from a, you know, Las Vegas casinos.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, really, they have concise and they have synthesized the attention engineering, I mean, basically the reward and craving system from there. So what they do is they make the reward so, I would say, satisfactory for you. And they give you this dopamine hit.
Yeah.
What you get. I think basically if you just become aware of yourself, what you are doing in the moment, I think that is enough for making the
and this, all of this Instagram, when you talk about it, the basic thing I don't like about it is there are literally thousands of engineers working day and night just to get your attention.
Yeah.
And I don't want to fall for that. I don't like it.
Basically.
So they are trying to make these four things. They are trying to make the cue very obvious. They are making the craving very easy. So you can download the app. You just click, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is very attractive.
Yeah.
You can see, they have perfected how an app with photos should look.
Oh, yeah. Instagram.
Yeah, they have done it very well.
Mm.
And it is very satisfactory. When you send a meme to a friend and he laughs, nothing like it. Or somebody you actually like follows you back.
Yeah.
Nothing like it, right?
You see, like, if you compare Reddit to Instagram, like, any random chat from India now, like, after Jio, everyone is almost using Instagram and it has become a very common household thing. But if you think about, if we compare Reddit to Instagram, I would say not everyone likes Reddit as much as they like Instagram.
Yeah.
Because Instagram is too much, I would say, easy to handle and very easy to comprehend rather than Reddit.
Yeah, I think Instagram gives you a feel of satisfaction or premiumism or whatever it is called.
Yeah.
A premium feel it gives you. You feel so, like, rich because you follow these accounts and they are in their mansions, chilling out with their girls. that is what obviously a normal person would want.
Correct.
And that they can already see it. Mm. It is like they already have it. So I think it is
I don't get how people fall for it. Okay, Instagram is understandable, okay? I also used to use Instagram a lot when I had it. But, you know, the Snapchat, I was talking to you about this the other day. The Snapchat have a concept of streaks going on. Basically, you don't get anything for it. And they have created, a very customer holding
I
would say, a very attractive for the customer thing. That by making a streak kind of algorithm, so that you just have to use the app every day, and if you don't use it and you don't share the snap with your friends every day, the streak breaks.
Yeah,
you get nothing from it. Even then, I see my friends literally, like, I will give you an example. Okay, we were going for Dandeli for 3 days, trek, and in Dandeli you don't get you know, clear cut mobile signals and range over there. So basically what my friend did is he gave the password and he gave literally the whole mobile to my other friend who used to stay in hostel, and he basically told him to snap the whole list of friends what he had every day for 3 days. This is how addicting it is.
So I think this is a very good example of how a habit is formed.
Yeah.
You make it so easy, you make it all these four things.
Yeah.
Right. So let's move from how to leave bad habits to getting good habits.
Yeah.
A very good example of good habit tracker is the Tree app. Do you know the?
I've heard about it.
So basically, what you do is, I don't exactly remember the name of the app. Forest. It's called Forest.
Okay, I have used the app.
What happens is you use the app. And let's say you plan to focus for 25 minutes.
Mm.
Okay, so you start the timer, then a tree starts to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you are distracted. So if you complete that 25 minutes, it will stay there, it will stay forever.
Right.
It will stay green, it will be very healthy. But if you just open some other app or do something else in those 25 minutes,
right,
then the tree will die instantly.
Right. Right.
So it gives a feel of, oh, I killed it.
Mm.
And I think, so I used to use it a lot.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people can draw a lot of positives from it, and how to follow with this.
Follow.
This is basically a Pomodoro technique.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically 25 minutes on, 5 minutes
break,
and then 25 minutes on.
Correct.
So,
but you think about it; it is so fascinating. Obviously, we know the tree is virtual.
Yeah.
We are not actually killing the tree, but it seems like, oh, I'm doing a sin by killing the tree, and you just get back to whatever you
want. Yeah, I think whenever you ask, let's say, so have you heard that if you would want, so think about it, it's a virtual example.
Okay.
If you know there's a granny in front, so you're standing on a bridge, you have a granny in front of you,
okay,
and there are four people on the tracks. So you are standing on a bridge and you have a train trail.
Okay,
below
railway
it,
track.
Railway track below
okay.
it. Okay. So you can see the train moving towards four people who are sleeping on the track.
Okay.
Okay. You see one, you see that if you can pull a lever, then a granny falls on the track.
Right.
And she dies, and the train gets to the other path, and these four people are alive.
Okay, so basically,
so
the train changes the course, and the four people, what we.
Yeah, they'll survive.
We can save them.
Yeah.
But the granny dies.
Or you cannot pull the lever, let the granny survive, and the four people will die. They're young four people, 25
okay.
years old.
Okay.
Okay.
What
would you do?
Granny.
Okay, you'll
yeah.
pull the lever and
yeah.
kill the. So now think about, if you had to go and physically push the granny down the down the bridge
okay.
on the this thing railway track,
nice.
Would you do it or would you kill the four people?
No, I would just let the four people get
yeah.
killed.
So this is a huge so the outcome is the same.
Yeah, right.
But the physical action that you take is different.
Approach
and
is different.
Approach
correct.
Because you connect your emotions to it
right.
when you are physically doing something. So
absolutely.
I think this is exactly what the Forest Act triggers.
Yeah, 100%.
So
100%.
They are trying to channelize those emotions to you
mm-hmm.
just to get you on a
better track.
So getting back to the book. So in the book, they have also mentioned that how to get a good how to make a good habit. So, have you formed any good habits that have sticked with you for a long time?
Yeah, so basically what I would say, it is a habit for me. Daily 100 push-ups a day.
Okay.
Okay, it has become a habit for me.
Okay.
Eventually, I didn't think of it like a habit. I would say it was a resolution by the beginning of the year. But it has become a habit. And I'm very, very satisfied about it. Other thing what I...
Okay, so how did you... So, there are four steps to making what they have mentioned in the book.
A habit, yeah.
So, first one is to make it obvious.
Make it obvious.
How did you make it obvious?
You know, it has been an innate, I would say, thing for me that I shouldn't be out of shape anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was never out of shape in my life. I've, at least I have never been a, you know, what they say, what
McGregor
says. Obese is like the extreme side of it. But even like skinny fat, what
yeah,
you call
yeah, yeah.
Even skinny fat, I just hate it. And I just hate the idea of being even like slightly out of shape.
Yeah.
I just want myself to be always on track and
yeah.
always, at least if I'm not ripped, at least I don't want myself to feel grumpy and very
yeah, lethargic
about myself. So it was very obvious for me.
No, so in the book, how they have mentioned is, let's say you said like you like to drink water every day.
Yeah.
So to make it obvious, what I have done is whenever I sleep, I have a bottle full of water with me.
Okay.
So whenever I go down and drink the water when I'm browsing through Twitter.
Achha.
So it has become obvious for me. So I see the water and I think, yes, that is what I have to do.
So you have connected to...
That is...
Yeah.
What is it called?
Habit
stacking.
Habit stacking.
So that is also what... So I know, basically, browsing Twitter is not a very productive. Good habit, but I like it. So, and I also follow a lot of good, smart people.
Okay.
So, it gives me motivation in the morning.
Achha.
And this water. Hmm. So, water has helped me immensely recently. Hmm. So, that is how I've made it obvious. Hmm. And the second one is I've made it easy by keeping it by my bedside.
Correct, correct.
Okay. Then, I've made it attractive because I can browse Twitter reason. When I'm okay. drinking water. That is why it is very attractive to me.
Okay.
Oh, that is interesting. Okay. That is that, this is what I can do because I don't allow myself to use any of my phone's phone apps till I am, let's say, out of my bed till I am drinking water.
Okay. For how many days are you following this?
I think 20-25 days with water,
right?
But with no apps in the bed and outside the bed, I think I've been very consistent with that. I think 7-8 months.
Okay.
I've not. Nice. Whenever I wake up, I don't Instagram. I don't use Twitter. I don't use YouTube because nothing against these people, but I don't see myself doing that.
Correct. Correct.
So that is how I've made.
Getting a new habit and the point what we are talking about attractiveness. Okay. So are you like feeling anything about it, like in a positive way? What about the water you are drinking in the morning?
So
are you seeing a good attractive result? I would say.
Yeah, I feel more healthy. Healthy being, I don't feel more acidic. I always used to feel very acidic and whenever I used to have food, I did not like it because I did not feel comfortable in my tummy, and secondly, my weight has gone down.
Okay.
That's very interesting. I never thought, because if I did not drink water, I would have food craving in the morning.
Correct. Have you experienced a form of energy, more energetic? In yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I used to work for 14 hours. Now I can work for around 18 hours.
Oh, cool.
Because I'm trying my hardest. So even in this lockdown, I'm trying my hardest to keep myself productive.
Okay.
And the only way to be productive is keeping my mind active. And refreshment and hydration is a very good thing.
Okay, correct.
So, and I've made it satisfactory because I can see these results, right?
You can see them visually.
Yeah, and I think it is absolutely massive for me. So, at least for my physical health, it is brilliant.
Yeah.
So how is the push-ups, this thing going on?
How it is going on is I have basically built up that habit and I do it every day. 150 push-ups at a time in the morning and 50 push-ups at a time in the evening.
Okay.
So, getting on with it, we have we imitate habit patterns of the people who are very
around us,
close to us, or the masses, or the powerful people.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we imitate the habits that are around us, or they're close to us. Of the masses and
powerful people.
So let's people who are close ones. So I close think ones. It has. I've told you this already. People who are close to me, being the people I talk to every day. I've not exactly filtered them. They have filtered themselves out of my life because I've been very productive. And once you focus on something, the other things get less of your attention.
Correct.
They get irritated and they eventually wear off.
They basically leave from your
life. Yeah. So that is how I've tried to manage the close ones around me.
Right.
So how do you think have you managed that?
I would say first of all, it influences me a lot till this day. Because I can't control the surroundings, I would say. But I can control the people that I spend my time on.
Yeah.
You know, there is one thing I have heard about it. That the five people... what you spend most of your time with, you are basically a mean of them, basically a sum of them. Okay. And I think it goes on with virtual also. For example, there are masses or a group of people that follow a politician who listen to him the whole day.
Yeah.
And they become so influenced by them that even if they are watching him virtually, he is one of the five people who surrounds them. mentally.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think this was very close to me when Kobe Bryant passed away. I felt a lot because I used to listen to him very consistently. I used to follow him because I thought the Mamba mentality, what he used to call, I think that is the way for me. I really like how focused you have to be in that Mamba mentality. So that is when I actually felt very bad when Kobe Bryant passed away, because I felt somebody very close to me passed away. And it was very bad.
So
these habits also come to us in the book. They have mentioned that from the masses, right?
Yeah.
The masses being...
I would give one example for the close ones, what they have mentioned in the book. They have given the example of Polar Sisters.
Okay.
So basically, both the sisters went in, Sweden, and their father was a professional chess player.
No. He was a psychologist. And what he wanted to know was talent this thing? Was talent something you were born with, or could you learn to be talented?
That
was his experiment.
So what happens is these two sisters,
sisters.
Yeah, there are three sisters, but the two of them, they get really good at chess.
Yeah.
And the elder one, the younger one, first of all, she gets, I think at around 15 years of age, she beats almost all the world records and almost all the female players, chess players. Okay. And she sets up a record. But the, the elder one, by the time she reaches 22, she becomes a Grand Slam champion. And something is that, like, obviously they both live in a environment which favors them to, like, go on with the chess and go on pursuing a similar pattern, I would say. A similar pattern of, just getting on good with yourself playing chess.
Yeah, and so what I remember of the story is that these three sisters, the first one, the eldest one, becomes a grandmaster by 22. The second one becomes a grandmaster by around 19.
Right.
And the third one becomes a grandmaster by 15. So because the first one had two people who were close to her, they were good at chess.
Yeah.
That is why she becomes that.
Correct.
The youngest one has four people now. It's two times more.
To influence,
to be better.
Right.
That is how the cues were set.
If
you are a good chess player, that means it is a very good sign, and you get social acceptance and all of that. So she what they called, had a talent for chess. She had inert this thing. She knew intuitionally how to play chess.
Okay.
That is what they said. So from
the
this
other two sisters, they like
they were taught. Acquired. So that is what it felt like when others were seeing her.
Correct.
So this is a very good example of how talent does not exist and everybody is equal.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own biases. But at the end of the day, how much harder, how many good habits you have, how good your systems are, matter or not. So in the second point, they have already mentioned that masses affect you a lot.
Yeah.
So masses being, if you go to the gym every day, everybody is working out.
Correct.
So you work out.
Yeah.
You don't think about it, you just work out.
Work out, yeah.
And the third thing what they have mentioned is
powerful
people, how powerful, for example, tons of people, even in this we have mentioned a lot of people, right, who are powerful, even this podcast. So
I can't imagine how many people got inspired from the Jordan documentary and started playing basketball. I was one of them, but only the thing being, we are in lockdown right now, so I can't go and play basketball.
The Last Dance documentary, it was very good, very well made, and I think it encapsulated exactly what Jordan was, and I really liked it.
Really, I didn't wanted to see the other side of the Jordan. Basically, his personal life and everything. Like, if you just have you ever like watched Jordan getting into that zone of whatever is happening in my life, I have already achieved it, and I don't want it anymore further.
Yeah,
never happens.
No.
He always like craves for more and more greatness.
And you know, even when Kobe Bryant was not that great, So he had a lot of problems with his family, and he had a few. So there was a very important game. I don't remember exactly the game, but in that game, it was like he was about to lose everything. He was about to lose his wife. He was about to lose his basketball career if the court went the other way. So that game, he had nothing to lose. Literally, Lakers player had nothing to lose.
Okay.
So that felt very weird to him, and he was under tons of pressure because he could see everybody scrutinizing him from every direction.
Right.
He did not know anything other than just play basketball as good as he can.
Okay.
And that is what he did. And that was one of the best games he has ever played. Because the more you're in the moment, the more you can focus and the more you can build great things.
Right.
So, I think that is the same with Jordan, right?
Was that the game against the Pacers?
I don't know, honestly. We'll link that to in the description.
I think he scored like 56 in that game.
Yeah.
Around 50. I remember he almost scored above 50, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So even I would say, if you have to speak about our powerful people, what you have in our country, I would say so many people got inspired to do Surya Namaskara and yoga after watching Narendra Modi do it.
Yeah.
Narendra Modi is a big fan of, I mean, yoga and, you know, like these asanas and Surya Namaskara, obviously. And I think my granny was most influenced by him.
Yeah.
If I had to give an example of how powerful people...
Yeah, and it is very... humbling to see so many people following Narendra Modi. Because, so putting politics aside, if we just see what the actions he has taken.
Correct.
Actions as a prime minister.
I
think they have been massive in determining. He has given a lot of people hope.
Obviously.
In such a hopeless time, when you see huge developed countries fall apart.
Yeah.
There is a guy sitting on top saying that, yeah, we can get through this.
Okay, so I don't know if it is subconscious or something, but I don't know, but I just trust him. Like,
I think he makes you trust you.
Makes you trust him.
So, yeah. So, I think that is a kind of personality that you can develop.
Right.
So, I think this... this has been the core message that we both gathered from the
book. Atomic Habits.
And I honestly think you should give it a read. Even on Audible, I think you should give it a read.
So, you can just download it from Telegram.
Yeah. So, I honestly was... It was honestly one of the best books I have read. And
No doubt.
And I think you guys should give it a read. So, do you have anything else to add?
I would say, like, Atomic Habits is for people who are new to self-help books, first of all, because it is so concise and so up to the point. There is no, like, long stories or reference stories that can mess up with you and your time. They are, like, straightforward messages. And I think it is a great read for even beginners and even for people who just want to sum all the self-help books of this genre in one.
Yeah, and he has given a lot of references even.
Yeah.
To other books.
Yeah.
So I really like this. So he's not very selfish in writing the book. He does not want people to just read his book. He wants people to improve.
Good.
And I think it is a great service that he's providing.
Obviously.
So
James Clear has.
So let's end it at this, and I hope that you gain some insights in the book, and I hope you guys give it a read.
Yes.
So I'll see you next time when we record the second episode of this. And yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
A lot.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.